Thessalonians chapter number 5 in the Word of God this evening. And for those of you who are visiting live stream, if you could take your Bible as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And tonight we're going to be continuing in a study now that we've been in. This is actually part 25 of this in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians. And we've been looking over the example church over the last several months. And tonight we're going to dig in once again, looking at a strong behavior, a strong behavior. And this is really some concluding exhortations that Paul is going to give here to this church. And these concluding exhortations are really for you and I to grow by. It is several things that really are applicable to us living in this culture, living in this day and age, living in this society. And tonight I want us to once again look at this passage of scripture, and we can look at this so that we can grow. And over the last several weeks, I guess 2 weeks now, in this really strong behavior, we saw in the first several verses that we are to be alert. That means that we are to be awake. We're to be ready. And this alertness is comprehending that you and I do not know when Jesus Christ is going to return, but we do know that He is going to return. And there are some signs, there are some seasons, there are some things in the very Word of God that He has given us so that you and I can know, okay, it's getting very near. Again, someone says, I know the exact day, I know the exact time when He's going to return. That person is a liar. He's contradicting the Word of God. No man knoweth the hour, but we do know that it is getting close. So if it's getting close, we have to be alert. What does that mean? We must tell, now watch, we have to tell everybody. What are we telling everybody? The good news of Jesus Christ. How many are thankful you're saved tonight? Would you say amen? We ought to be excited and we ought to be thankful, but we ought to be alert. And that alertness is comprehending that every person around you and I in the Indianapolis area has a soul. It's not just the jobs of the missionaries that's on that back wall to reach the world. It's also our responsibility. And that's what I love. And I know I talk about it a lot, but the track rack in the back there in the missions corner, get by and pick up some tracks. Pick up some of these, and each and every week, get out and invite somebody to church. Get out and talk to them about their soul. What if God is coming back this week and we miss that opportunity to tell somebody about what God has done in our lives? These exhortations was first alert, but then Paul begins to talk about being awake. Being awake. We see this is in verses number 4 and also in verse number 5, which we saw this past week. But tonight I want us to start in verse number 6. So would you stand with me here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Would you look with me at verse number 6. The Bible says this. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Tonight, we're going to continue looking at this subject of being awake. Father, as Brother Schellenberg just prayed a moment ago, I ask, Father, that we would be in tune. That, Father, we would be ready to hear. That we'd be ready to learn. I ask, Savior, that you'd give me the words to say tonight. Over the next several moments, may we be encouraged, Father, to be awake in you. We love you, Savior. Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In verse number 6, the Bible says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Watch the wording, but let us watch and be sober. We began last week by saying sleep here refers to a spiritual sleep. When somebody is asleep physically, that person is not necessarily with it. Some people even are very hard to wake up, and they're not in tune with what is going on around them. But when a person is spiritually asleep, they are not alert nor involved in the things of God. Their mind or their behavior are not concerned with what is taking place or what is going to take place in the kingdom of God. They are dozing. They are asleep. They are out of it.
A person who is asleep spiritually, they're not aware, or they are going to be caught off guard when the Lord returns. And you and I begin to dig into this a little bit last week by saying that there are those that they are saved, they have been born again, but they get caught up in the things of this world. We understand the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And oftentimes we will take that verse out of context and we begin to apply it to everyone who we feel like is not walking the way that we feel like they ought to walk. We apply it to those and say, well, this person is just obsessed with making money, or this person is obsessed with education, or this person, if you look at their social media, they have nothing to do with God, or they're not in church, therefore by their fruits you shall know them, so they must not be saved. But comprehend, friend, if a person is saved, a person is sealed, a person has what the Bible refers to often and alludes to, and what you and I will often call, that is this, that is security. The power of God saved that person, and the power of God keeps that person saved. You say, Pastor, do you believe once saved, always saved? I absolutely do, because of the foundation that the Word of God gives us. Therefore, if a person is truly saved and they have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, when they do something wrong or they get their mind off of Christ, it does not mean that they are now lost and eternally damned to hell. No, simply what it means is oftentimes is the Holy Spirit can be quenched. And if the Holy Spirit is quenched, then the Holy Spirit and that individual, it's like they're not on talking terms. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. It's not this, man, I can't wait to be in church. I can't wait to be in my Bible. Oftentimes we see is a person will get their mind on the things of the world. They're asleep. I often look at folks around the globe and I think, my goodness, did they not realize that our time here on earth is short? Did they not comprehend that you and I, life is just really all kind of a bed of vapor? It appears for a little while and then it's gone and it's going faster and faster. And does this person not realize that we're not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, but we're to be laying up treasures in heaven where moth or rust corrupt, and on we go. Comprehend this. It's not that a person is lost, but oftentimes a person is asleep. And what I want to warn us tonight is to not get our eyes on those that, oh, I'm just so disappointed. And boy, they ought to know better. Comprehend this. Look, every man is going to give an account. And I want to encourage us as a congregation this evening, instead of getting our weapons turned at everyone who's not in church tonight or who's not on social media pleasing God or those who are away from God, should we be after them? Yes. Should we encourage them? Absolutely. Should we love them without a doubt? Should we pray for them first? Absolutely. But friend, the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. And may you and I comprehend tonight, we are not above that. Our families are not above that. Our marriages are not above that. May you and I be alert and awake, realizing that church is important and prayer is important and being in the Word of God, husbands, is important. Listen, friend, we have to be awake. But watch what it says. It says, but let us watch and be sober. To watch means to be alert and on guard. This means to live for Christ. Being awake is at times comprehending that you and I are to be on watch. You ever fallen asleep before? This happened to me not too long ago. I was in this really just a deep sleep. Man, it was I think I called it a REM sleep. Man, I was in my REM sleep. Man, I was doing good. I was having some good dreams. And parents, you're with me on this. Have you ever felt like somebody's watching you before? And even you're asleep, you're like, something's not right. And I opened my eyes, and one of my kids was standing right beside the bed. And there's nothing, I'm sorry, this is just me, it's not Bible. There is nothing creepier in the dark than a little kid. You know what I'm saying? Maybe we've all watched too many scary movies, but I'm telling you what, a kid standing there staring at you is like, what? You know, you just wake up, I'm like, child, what do you want? You know, and my belly hurts or whatever the case might be. And okay, all right. Honey, wake up and take care of this. You know what I mean? and so Carrie takes care of it. Well, let me tell you something. For the rest of the night, I'm not in a deep sleep. You know what I'm doing? I'm sleeping with one eye open. I'm locking my door. You got a stomachache, kid. You wait till 5:30 a.m. Then you can come in, okay? We're to be on watch. We're to be awake. You and I are comprehending he's coming back. But the wording here also says this, and be sober. To be sober means to be rigid. Watch now. If you go back to Webster's Dictionary, here's what defines it. It's rigid and disciplined and control for whatever the belief is. For us, it's rigid and disciplined and control for Christ. You see, we are to live a strict life of righteousness and godliness, ever looking for the return of our Savior. Friend, let me put it this way. Don't let this crazy world get your eyes off of God. No matter what takes place, don't let the upside downness of this world take our minds off of our Savior. Yeah, but did you see who was in the Super Bowl? Yeah, but did you see the weather up and down? Yeah, but did you see the truckers in Canada? Yeah, but did you see? Okay, that's good and that's great, and we can talk about that for a little while. But let's get back to the point. Well, what's the point? The point is this. God is coming back, and it's so much more than truckers, and it's so much more than mandates, and it's so much more than weather, and it's so much more than football, and it's so much more than what we think takes priority in our life. No, we are to live a very strict and disciplined life of righteousness. Why? Because we are different. Look at verse number 7. For they that sleep, they sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Okay, so Paul takes it a little bit deeper here. You see, some are identified with the night. That would be this. With evil behavior. You see this, these exhortations are coming, and it's not just look out. Now we're going to go a little bit deeper. We're to be on watch, yes. We're to be sober. What does that mean? We're living disciplined lives for God. But now it's even deeper. There's some who are living and sleeping in the night. They're identified with the night. This is exactly what the scripture is alluding to. The person who sleeps, sleeps in the night. The person who gets drunk in the night. That means this, if a Christian flirts, can I use that word? If a Christian flirts in the darkness of the night, they show themselves to be of the night. If they walk in the day, then they show themselves to be walking in the day. Luke says it like this, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any times your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Watch now. And so that the day come upon you unawares. Revelation says it like this. Behold, I come as a thief. Watch. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he be naked and they see his shame. You see, there is light and there is darkness. Darkness is of Satan, light is of God. You and I were once in darkness. We were in chains. We were bound with a destination called hell. But Jesus Christ came and died, and he broke these old chains. He brought us out of darkness into his light. That's why the Bible puts it like this. But you're a chosen generation. I love this. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. Check it out, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You say, Pastor, what does this mean? That means that you and I no longer are living in this darkness. We're no longer bound by the chains of depression and discouragement and fear and doubt and overcome with the worries and concerns of this world. And no longer are we bound to the chains of bitterness and pride and pornography and immorality. No. He brought us out of these chains. Check it out. And because he did this and said it is finished, now we are people of light. If that makes sense, say amen tonight. That means, yeah, we're different. You ever looked at somebody and said, man, they're Boy, they sure are strange. To the lost world, we are strange. Pastor Foes, Bobby Robertson, used to say, the old preacher down in Walkertown, used to say, the gospel light sure attracts some strange bugs. Old-time preacher. And isn't that the truth? We are different. We are weird to the world. You know why we're weird? We're different. When the whole world is stressed out, worried, and concerned, and, oh, what's going to happen? And, oh, we got to tune in. And, oh, we got to stay home. We got to be different. No. Here's the Christian. What comes. We're just going to keep carrying on. Why? Because God's coming back. Friend, understand, the Bible has come through some pretty tough times. It's seen its fair share of pandemics. It came through the dark ages. And yet no man and no demon could put it out. It still shines bright. You and I are different. Why? We're not down and depressed and worried and, oh, just life is so awful. I mean, honestly, Pastor Dan, we go through that prayer chain. And all of a sudden we're praying for this and this and this and this and this. But, y'all, coming through that prayer chain, here's what we got to do. At the very end, here's what we're doing. God, whatever your will is, we trust your will. God takes somebody home to heaven, he takes somebody home to heaven. Is it always easy? It's not easy, friend. 2021 was a rough year on this church. We lost some good, faithful men. But let me tell you something. Our ways are not his ways, saith the Lord. We have to trust him. We have to be guided by him. You and I, look, we're not going to live in the darkness. We're going to be drunk, love the darkness. We're not going to be drunk as the drunk. Verse number 7, no. We are different. You and I are separated. The whole world is depressed. You and I have joy. Why? We really are blessed here on this earth. But you know what? You can't scare us with death. Why? Well, heaven's coming. Like, can you imagine this? This is as bad as it gets for us for all of eternity. For all of eternity. I had to buy 2 tires about 2 weeks weeks ago. And poor old Pastor Dan, I'm telling you what, he's my shoulder. And I got to buy 2 tires. I can't believe this. And ran off the road a little bit. And it just hit both tires just right. And both tires blew. And I'm telling you what, I can't believe tires are so expensive. And good grief, they're probably sitting off the coast of California, you know. We could get in. Man, I'm just going off, you know. I mean, thanks a lot, politicians. One in particular. Anyways, and I'm going off and off and off. And I'm lambasting. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, oh, my word. Brother Burkett, it's 2 tires. Think about it. It's 2 tires, Pastor Fitzgerald. Like, seriously? I'm going to let 2 tires get me down? Hold on. When you put it that way, isn't it pretty crazy? Think about it, Brandon. 2 tires. Like, who cares? Oh, Lord, you got to have them. Like, you can't drive your car without them. What are you complaining about? It's 2 tires compared to eternity. Who cares? Pay it, move on. We're different. We think different. We're going to be different. Our love is different. How's our love different? Get on Facebook lately, put something on there that goes against conservative or liberal, and just watch the amount of hate that you start to get. You know what Christians are supposed to do? We're not supposed to live in this mud. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to love them that hate us and do good to them that despitefully use us. That's light. That's so different from the world. The world doesn't comprehend that. Hey, let's get them back. Let's burn their businesses. Let's tear them down. Ooh, I'm going to let them have it. No, we're supposed to love those people. That's what our God has left us. And let me tell you something, friend. It is an incredible place to live. It gives us joy. It gives us happiness. It gives us, I love this word, harmony. It gives us peace. You and I, we are different. We are to be alert. We're to be awake. But number 3, I want you to write this down. We are also to have armor. We're to have armor. This is our behavior with our armor on. Look at verse number 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet and a hope of salvation. So how can a believer stay sober? Okay, how are we going to, verse number six, how are we going to stay out of this darkness? Verse number seven, well, here's how we're going to live. Let us who are, we're not of verse seven of the night, but of the day, be sober. How are we going to accomplish this? Okay, we're going to put on the breastplate of faith and love. It's a breastplate. The breastplate is a protectant of the heart. Well, who wears, I want you to think about this. Who is supposed to wear a breastplate? Think about it. Who is it that wears a breastplate? Somebody say it out loud. It's a soldier. Well, who's a soldier? It's you and I. We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, if we're going to be different, if you and I are going to be the day, if you and I are going to live a sober life, then we have to do it in such a protected way. So how do we accomplish this? We put on armor. What does that armor look like? Well, this armor, watch now, is for the believer to protect the heart. It is this breastplate. The heart of the believer must be protected. His heart also must be committed and focused upon who? Jesus Christ. For the cause of what? His cause. For the cause of the cross. For the cause of the grave. It is a world conquest for you and I. It is the breastplate of faith and of love that will protect our heart, and it's going to keep us focused on Jesus Christ. Watch now. We talk to our teens often. Pastor Blake does an incredible job. Brother and Mrs. Mancroni with our young adults, they do a wonderful job at teaching protecting a heart. I'm call me old-fashioned, but I just believe that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. So I believe we ought to teach our young kids and our youth that you shouldn't hold hands. And I know I'm old-fashioned, call me, the parents, it's up to you, but I think it's wise not to hold hands and kiss until you're married. And so what does that lead towards? Well, what we're doing is we're teaching these young kids to abstain from that physical relationship. Why are we teaching them that? So that they, you follow the line, they protect their heart. They don't give it away. It's physical. It's something that you remember those young in love days when you first met your spouse and you stared at each other all day long and, oh, you're so beautiful, and you held hands and, oh, it's just so great. And well, what do you teach young kids? Okay, you're going to abstain from that. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because of where it leads. You're giving away a piece of your heart. And then we're good with our young people at teaching. Be careful giving your heart away to a university and giving your heart away to following your dreams and giving your heart. Why? Because at that age, it's easy for them to just, wow, a butterfly, and they follow it, and I just need it. And all of a sudden, their heart is given away. But let me just be square tonight. Our teenagers are in here. So we're talking to a church that's young, and Paul is instructing them, put on the breastplate of faith and love. That means this, for you and I, we also have to protect our heart. Crosspoint Baptist Church, what is our heartbeat here? What is our heartbeat? Man, we have a school of 250 kids. And I love teaching those kids, and I love preaching in chapel. And man, we have some gifted, incredible teachers here. But is the school our heartbeat? Is algebra our heartbeat? Is geometry our heartbeat? Is history our heartbeat? It's not. I would love for us to win state championship like we did last year. And it was wonderful, man, that we stormed the court. Even during COVID, we stormed the court, and all the kids went crazy. I'm like, wow. And let's be honest. Okay, so we put a trophy in the shelf out there, and great, good, but let's be honest, basketball's not our heartbeat. We're going to win some, we're going to lose some. What's our heartbeat? It's the gospel. It's Christ. It's Jesus. I can become so wrapped up in buying two overly priced stinking tires that I can give a piece of my heart away to money, to aggravation, to something, to be honest with you, at that time, pretty upset. A couple weeks later, We're going to have to get new tires eventually anyways. Big deal. In the scheme of eternity, what does it matter? Is it frustrating, Brother Banks, to put in a $38,000 unit and there's two of them up there? The other one's probably stinking little things close behind it. So you do 38 plus 38 equals a lot of money. And all of a sudden we're looking at this and, okay, so what are we going to do? We're just going to sit here and let's all cry about it? Nope. God gave us those funds for a reason. And it's to cool down that gym and heat that gym. Brother Brett, you've talked to me often here recently about your burden of opening up that gym. For what? Not just for our kids, but for this lost world. Somebody help me out tonight, amen? Do you follow along that you and I all of a sudden... We're on the young kids. Man, Brother Plincy, you're there with me. We got young boys. But don't give away your heart. Don't give away your heart. Don't give away your heart. Hold on. Before we harp on all the kids in this church, why don't you and I be careful not to give our heart away either? That we start following the things of this world and we start following the politicians and the news and CNN and Fox and coronavirus and basketball and football and the NCAA tournament. Woo, it's coming to Indianapolis. All of a sudden, we've taken our heart that is supposed to belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we've stacked everything on top of that. If we can fit God in, we'll fit him in during the day, and if we can fit in a little prayer, we might during one of our three meals during the day, and if we can fit in Bible study, we might do it, and if we can make it all to Sunday night church, we might be there. Let me tell you something, friend. Paul is talking to a group of believers, and yes, although they are young in the faith, you and I also have to take heed to this verse that you and I also are putting on the breastplate, guarding our heart. You have a Facebook tonight? Guard your heart. You watch the news? Guard your heart. Why? Because you're going to take something that belongs to God and you're going to give it away to politicians. You're going to give it away to fear. You're going to give it away to something that is out of your control. Meanwhile, God says, I gave you armor, put it on and protect your heart. Why? Because our heart belongs to God. If you're saved tonight, say amen. That means this, you and I, we've been bought with a price. We're no longer ourselves. How is it 752? Holy mackerel. Okay, check it out. Now look at this verse. Look what it says. It says, and also the hope of salvation. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on, what do we put on? The breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. There's a helmet for the Christian soldier. Well, what is it? It's the hope of salvation. There is only one way that you and I can be prepared for the return of Christ and the escape of judgment of God. We must keep our minds and we must keep our lives focused on who? Jesus. How do we do it? Now, hold on. We do it by getting in the Word of God. Moms, are we in the Word of God? Dads, are we in the Word of God? Sometimes we got to do a look. Oh, Wednesday night, reality check. The end of the week, if you have an iPhone like I do, at the end of the week, you can turn it on and it will tell you how much screen time you've had. It's honestly, I was at a pastor's meeting last week, and there's a lot of men who are now holding themselves accountable with other men of how much time they're spending on social media or on news channels or on this device. What if there was an app that told you and I how much time we're putting in this compared to how much time we're putting in this? Say, well, Pastor, are we supposed to all get rid of our cell phones? No, I'm all about tech. I love tech. I love new phones. I love new Apple Watches. And I preach from an iPad. Like I'm all in that. But let me tell you something, friend. We've got to be careful that we don't start giving our heart and our minds away to this world. And our minds are no longer focused on what it ought to be focused on. And again, that's the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's suit up in our armor daily. Look at verse number 9, and we're almost done. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch now, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Note the words wake or asleep here. They mean this, alive or departed. When Christ returns, whether we are still alive on earth or departed, we shall live together with him forever. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. And when we were yet without strength in due the time, Christ died for the ungodly. Galatians 1 and verse number 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might, don't tune out here, watch, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. See, Pastor, I don't understand, like, why should we be excited about this? Because this is why he died. This is why he sacrificed himself. His death certificate became our birth certificate. He died so that you and I might live. And not only should we be excited that this world, it's just a little passing time, but that you and I, check it out, we get to live with him for all of eternity, forever and ever. You and I can't even comprehend it. After 100 trillion years, it's only just begun. I love the song we sing, Brother Ben. We got to sing it soon. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Man, there is a part in there the pianist can just, it will be worth it. And man, that buys into it. Why? Because at that moment when we see our Savior, it's going to be worth it all. The trials will be passed. Check it out. When we get to heaven, man, I think it's just going to become so real. Not only what we gain, but the time we lost. Say, Pastor, please don't end on that note, okay? Well, look at verse number 11 and watch what it says. Wherefore, I love the wording here, comfort yourselves together. And edify one another, even as also ye do. Or to comfort each other, exhort each other, encourage, admonish. Hey, Cross Point family, I think at times local churches have forgot verse number 11. I think at times we just don't look at this, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We forget about that. We're good at getting on each other. Oh, Denny, we're good at it. Boy, they're not here. This person, this. Did you hear about this? I didn't get my way. We could look at each other, but that's not what verse number 11 says. It's comfort each other. You know what edify means? Lift each other up. We get in the car, our grandkids should hear us comforting and edifying others. We get in the car, our kids should hear us. Our wives should hear us. Our husbands should hear us. Well, did you see so-and-so? I don't know about you, but look, I've been in Baptist churches my entire life. We're good at it. God help us. Cross Point Baptist Church is here and exists so that we edify each other. Do we always get along? We don't. Do we have different opinions? Wow. We are opinionated people, aren't we? I said we. You can. Well, yes, you are, Pastor. Okay, I'm opinionated, but so are you. We're all opinionated. But Paul said, hey, church, edify each other. Lift each other up. Comfort each other. We go through hard times, difficult times. Like I said, people in our church, they're struggling right now. You know what they need is not for us to get in their face, I told you so. No, they need comforting. Amen. It's going to be all right. Let's give it to God. Let's get on our knees. Let's talk to him. Had a bad time? Got bad results? It's okay. God's coming back. He's the great physician. Teenager goes astray. Well, we saw that coming a mile away. I want to ask you, who does that help? No one. Zero, nobody. You know what this church has to do? Come behind those parents. It's going to be okay. Our kids have done the same. Bunch of sinners. You know, we were teenagers too. What we do? Comfort, edify, get in the Word of God. It's going to be okay. Hey, friend, let's take these words this week and let's remember, let's suit up. You ready? Suit up. That, what does that mean? Get on your breastplate. Guard your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, put on the helmet of salvation. Guard your thoughts. May our thought life be only about Him and His return. And then this week, whether it be by phone, text, social media, let's edify each other, comfort each other. What are we doing? We are being exhorted to be the church. We're the church. This building's not the church. We are. Let's act like it.